Hey, we are joined on the phone this morning by a guest who comes to us from down in Oklahoma. Zach Pearsall joins us with the Narconon Arrowhead Agency. Zach, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. How's the weather been this winter down in Oklahoma?
Oh, it is absolutely gorgeous. I'm looking out my window right now. I got the window open. It's about 65 degrees. Sunny, light clouds. It's ideal. It's definitely not the normal February weather.
Have you guys had pretty good weather this winter?
Oh, it's been one of the most mild winters I've ever seen here in Oklahoma.
Well, we've had the same thing up here in Iowa. It's been very mild and very dry here for quite a while.
Definitely.
Well, very good. Well, that's not what we wanted to talk about today, but it's nice to check and see how other folks are doing, too, weather-wise. We want to talk a little bit this morning about the real facts about addiction and recovery. And, Zach, let's just start with the basics. Drug and alcohol addiction, is it really a disease?
Good question, and it is not. And for decades, the scientific community has been trying to pin a label on addiction. That's to say that it's a family disease passed on through genes causing a neurological disorder. And today, that research continues after millions of dollars have failed to even prove that theory true. And, you know, that theory is largely backed by the fields of pharmacology and psychiatry. And they just continue to reap the financial rewards by supporting this idea or theory.
So is that the main reason? It's a monetary gain for some that we keep continue to label it that way?
Well, they always want to pin some sort of a label on it, some sort of a justification or a reason behind it. But a lot of times a person just doesn't want to accept responsibility for the fact that they made a bad decision by beginning to use drugs. And, addiction is one of those things that spirals out of control very quickly.
Zach, just from a layman's standpoint then, let me just ask you then, why would it really matter how we label it? Does it affect how we treat it?
Definitely, definitely. And that's one of the problems by labeling it a disease is, these psychiatrists in the field of pharmacology, they're so quick to prescribe someone, okay, you're depressed, let's put you on a bunch of psychiatric medications. And that's where the problem lies is they don't even handle the deep-rooted mental and emotional issues that are the real root of the problem. All they do is prescribe a medication that is it's a Band-Aid for a wound that needs stitches. It's a temporary fix for a long-term problem. So that's why, they're so quick to pin the label on it, so they can prescribe these medications in a quick fix, so to say.
Talk about the difference between treatment and rehabilitation.
There is a huge difference between the two. And, when a person becomes addicted to drugs or alcohol, in many cases, treatment is what is given. But rehabilitation is what is really needed for that individual to fully recover. And the definition for treatment is to care for or deal with medically or surgically. And that's a lot of times where we see these substitute drugs come in. And that's not always the most effective solution. Now, the definition for rehabilitation is to restore to a former capacity. That simply means for the person to be in the condition that he or she was in before they had the ailment or subsequently the addiction.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that then. It's not a disease. It's not something that's passed on. So what causes drug and alcohol addiction?
What causes, and the first thing that you got to understand about addiction is that alcohol and addictive drugs are basically painkillers. They chemically kill physical and emotional pain, and they alter the mind's perception of reality. And they basically make a person numb. And for drugs to even be attractive to a person, there has to be some sort of underlying issue, some kind of unhappiness, sense of hopelessness, physical pain. It could be a divorce, puberty, self-esteem, insecurity, low self-worth, low self-image. I mean, I could go on and on with you, but to be honest, it's usually a combination of a lot of those things.
Which is why it's kind of difficult to pin it to one age group. Folks sometimes
totally
think of teenagers as being the ones that get addicted, but it can happen anytime.
Definitely. I can tell you, without breaking any of the HIPAA laws and privacy acts, we have people come into our facility from all walks of life, nurses, lawyers, judges, attorneys. It's addiction. It doesn't matter how old you are, what color you are. Addiction can happen to you.
So then relapses, is that kind of the same deal then? We relapse. Why do we do that?
Addicts cannot stop using drugs for two primary reasons. Number one is those mental cravings. Number two is the physical cravings that are actually caused by those drug residues that remain in the body. and the biochemical personality caused by drugs and the lifestyle that that person adopts when they're using drugs.
Mm-hmm. And so it's very important to get the right kind of, when you decide to make that change, to break that habit and get away from that altogether, treatment, rehabilitation, call it what you will, it's important to get the right kind of attention.
Exactly.
And that's what you guys do too. Now, I know you work with thousands of drug and alcohol agencies across the country in helping to kind of coordinate some of the efforts that go on. You know, there are some good, there are some bad, and different variations of them all. But what should folks look for, I guess, if they decide that they need to make a change?
You know, as far as when it comes to selecting a treatment option, these are some things, some key points that you really need to look for. Number one would be a physical detoxification. Some kind of a program that focuses on getting those metabolites cleaned out of the body, so it ultimately will eliminate, number one, the physical cravings, because physical cravings are the leading cause of relapse. So the person needs to focus on getting their body cleaned out, and what, you know, scientific evidence has proven, once you get those metabolites cleaned out, a person begins to think with a lot more clarity, and that's when they can focus on, number two, those underlying mental and emotional issues that come with the addiction. Depression, anxiety, guilt, all of these things factor into it. So until an individual gets all of those issues handled, they can never expect to go back out there and be successful. So you want to look for a program that covers all the bases, and you want to look for a program that's not just your normal 30 days. It takes a lot longer than that for a person to completely change their lifestyle and get their body back, you know, where it needs to be in their brain chemistry to even begin to restore itself.
Is that also what we need to look for to avoid any kind of relapse from occurring?
Definitely. That's exactly right. You put it right there. That's perfect. I mean, that's what, in order for an individual to be successful, they have to turn all those stones over and start fresh. They have to get everything handled and leave no stone unturned.
Zach, I'm kind of going off the topic a little bit here, but I'm kind of interested. When you folks get people who contact Narcanon for the first time, whether it be the actual addict themselves or a friend or family member of, how often is that the first contact that they've made with any kind of a drug or alcohol assistance agency, as opposed to going out and getting several bits of information along the way and then getting to your place?
It would be hard to give you an exact figure, but I can assure you the majority of the people that we do that contact us have contacted other treatment facilities. Usually they'll get online and just start calling. They'll enter in Google and say drug addiction treatment, drug addiction rehabilitation, and they call. And they make probably 10 to 20 calls in a day, and they gather information from all these facilities and usually pick the option that sounds, you know, the most affordable and effective to them.
Do you find that people maybe are a little bit more knowledgeable than you thought, or do you have to change some of the ideas that they have preformed?
Definitely. It is, and it's tough sometimes. You know, people are told certain things their whole life, and in their head, that's what's real and applicable to them. But a lot of times the reality is they don't have all the information they need to really and truly assess that. So it is. It's tough sometimes because, you see addiction pinned as a disease so often. And, you know, I can tell you from my personal experience, I'm no longer an addict. I'm recovered, and that's something I'm never going to have to deal with again, because I got it handled, and I got my body cleaned out, and, you know, I'm a new person because of that and because of this program. So, you know, that's kind of, you'll speak with people who will disagree, and you'll speak with people who agree with me, but it's one of those things. There's really no scientific evidence that has proven it to be a disease.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how folks can get a hold of you then when they decide to make that call or get online and try to find the right thing for them. How do they get a hold of you?
Yes, sir. We have a toll-free line, and that number is 1-800-468-6933. And we also have a website for those of you that got internet access, and that website is www.stopaddiction.com.
All right, and they can find out all the information they need. It's just a matter of coming in with the right mindset, I suppose.
Definitely.
Great. Zach, thanks a lot for your time today.
Yes, sir. It's always a pleasure. You guys have a wonderful day.